Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland, live to tape once again. So, bid you welcome, as always, to our listeners from around the globe, and especially in the DMV, the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and of course the Commonwealth of Virginia, speaking of which, live from there, specifically Centerville, to help me out as always is the beautiful, wonderful mermaid mentalist.
Say that ten times.
She will teach you a lesson if you don't look out, and it's Anna Knox.
Oh, greetings. How are you doing tonight, Gil, on this glorious Monday evening?
Not too bad. And so, yes, like you said, it is Monday once again. So you're pulling double duty, double dipping, as it were, yes, with our show first. And, of course, Sports on the Hill later on this evening.
Yes. Yes. Double dipping. It's one of my many talents. Oh, yes. In the podcasting world only. Yeah. Doing tonight and Sports on the Hill, just basically talking all about the Caps.
Yep, and this week was the classic spaghetti western, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'll go over it all soon, and there's plenty of it. But of course, 'tis the season, as they say, it is the holiday season, and we are rapidly approaching that. So,
yes. Well, and it's a good thing, you know. I feel like Thanksgiving last year was really rushed. It was the end of the month, and then all of a sudden you turn the calendar the next day and it's like, oh, it's December and we're so close to the holidays and so close to Christmas. This year we had a little bit of breathing room and we turned the calendar, and I went to the Caps game yesterday. I'm in the holiday spirit. I definitely was not in it last year. Last year I was an absolute Scrooge. This year, I'm totally in the holiday spirit, so I hope you are too. I know we haven't really talked about it much because I know work is stressful and whatnot, but I'm ready to kick off.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm not too blah or down about it, but it kind of hit me when the decorations started to come out, everybody putting up the trees, the lights, the wreaths, everything like that, the nice things like that. Of course, there's always that one neighbor that has to go over the top and put out those ridiculous displays that involve those, you know, blow-up dolls and the big balloons and the everything like that. And it just
but it's once a year, and what could possibly be wrong with that? Like, how could you? I mean, it's not like it's in front of your house, so why not just enjoy it?
Well, because they're god-awful and gaudy, for one thing. Okay, so I'll give you an example.
Please do.
This one that I saw, it was... Okay, so for you younger folk, it's the Peanuts cartoon, the main character, one of the main characters, Snoopy the dog, and he's holding Woodstock the bird in the palm of his paws out in front of him, okay? And as everybody knows, we've gotten quite a bit of wind the last few days. And so one day I'm out and about and I'm seeing this thing, and it's knocking over Snoopy with Woodstock underneath him and knocking them back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and up and down to the point. Yeah. To the point where Snoopy looks like he's doing something not so nice and natural with Woodstock.
Oh, Gil. It's an inflatable Christmas decoration. Ew. Let it go. Like, just, you know, chalk it up to the wind, whatever else. I mean, if it's, you know, being inappropriate, it's blamed on the wind.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, you want
to? I'm not seeing it because I'm a huge Snoopy fan, so I like to think that it could be anything inappropriate as gross.
Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just where my mind went. Silly me. But yeah, sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, I suppose I can tolerate the festivities and the signs that, yes, it's in the, you know, we're in that part of the year. So, yes, I get that.
Is it just the lawn inflatables that bug you?
I guess. The boinging and the snapping back and the, you know, the writhing, I guess, kind of.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. I don't see it that way, but that's okay. Like out here, I don't know. It's pretty tame in my neighborhood. Although we have one house that's like over the top. There's always one house that is like literally over the top. And I'm like, what the hell is your electric bill?
No,
we don't have, like, everyone here is like maybe one or two and that's it. So it's not terrible, but you apparently were kind of, I don't know, you experienced something that was not so much.
Well, that's just it. It was too much.
True. It, you know, it's like, yeah, my eyes, I'm sorry.
Well, speaking of, oh, my eyes, quite a bit of action, eye popping action on the ice. So let's just go ahead and get to it. Three games to recap this past week. One that happened when we last left you.
Right.
You on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, whatever. Hopefully listening from wherever in the DMV. Of course, that's the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and District of Columbia, and of course around the globe. Speaking of which, sorry to kind of break off of that, but I was fooling around on Podbean on the account, and apparently we have listeners in as far away places as Australia now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I found that very interesting. So, it's apparently somebody's been catching up on the shows and downloading them and listening to them. And, I just thought that was very interesting. I'd like to throw that in there.
Yeah, well, you need to know their names so we can acknowledge them and say thank you. Because that's really cool.
Now, see, that I didn't get, but hopefully okay. I can track that person down. So, but yeah, you who are listening from down under, we thank you. Back to the recaps. So the first game was last Monday when we recorded last against the New York Islanders. And that was a road game in Brooklyn. Let's get to it. Opening the scoring, 36 seconds in. 36 seconds in. Makes you wonder. Valtteri Filppula. Another name I can't say. Filppula. With his seventh, assisted by Pulak and Komarov, backhander. And I'm sure you had to have enjoyed that whilst you were talking at Robbie and CP3 last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We had it. It was very interesting to Radio Network podcast moment because all three of us had the game on and we were trying to talk about stuff and the topics were kind of going everywhere. And then, you know, something would happen and we were like, oh, and you forget you're going live. But it just so, you know, solidified there that, you know, yes, we are fans and yes, we do watch the games as, you know, live if we can. So that worked out well. But yeah, I thought I liked, you know, I'm not going to cut you off with the Islander stuff. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to throw that at you. Okay. So it was a bad start, of course, but About 2 minutes later, just over 2 minutes later, who should tie the game but our hero as of late, Tom Wilson.
Yes.
Now would be the perfect time for echo.
Yeah, that was a good
We're making fun of ourselves here, of course. So he ties it with a wrister, assisted by Nick Backstrom and Madison Bowie. That ends the scoring for the first period. Second period, Nick Dowd with his third, assisted by Dmitry Yashkin and John Carlson.
Nice.
A wrister of his own, putting the good guys up 2-1. Oh, that was the only strike for the second period. And so who should put the Caps up once again with an insurance goal? Mr. Tom Wilson once again on the power play. So I believe, let me double check here. Okay, I thought for some reason this was, okay, so I'm thinking of another game. He got
he's very special, and that means he's special because he does his best work on the special teams.
See what I did there?
I did.
Okay. I hope you're a hard sell this week, I swear.
I know. I'll be good. It was okay. I didn't laugh, but that's okay. Somebody else, I'm sure, out there will find it funny.
Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
All right.
Anyway, 3-1 good guys on the PP. And that takes us to close to the end of the third. Alex Ovechkin gets the empty netter to ice it. His 18th, assisted by Wilson again and Nicklas Backstrom. So that was his third assist of the evening, I believe. Yes. It's 22nd total. So looking at the vitals, another ugly win, if you can call it that, sort of. Caps outshot 33-24 for the game. Face-off performance was not good at all. Only 42.6% in the dot. The power play, 1-for-2, so that was good. Badly out-hit by the Islanders. They did get, stop me if you've heard this before, 17 block shots. And again, if you're going to give up a lot of shots, you're going to end up blocking a lot of them. So that it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. And what do they call that? A double-edged sword?
Sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Possession game, fairly even, slight favor to the Caps. So they, you know, again, they do more when they have the puck, which is a continued good thing. Only 8 giveaways to 14 for the Islanders. Shots on goal by period, the only one they were ahead on was the first, 12-8, and then it just went all downhill from there. 3 stars of the game, well, guess what? He may wear number 43, but he was number 1 for this game, Tom Wilson, of course. And Braden Holtby, number 2 star, not bad to be number 2 in this case, with 32 saves. And Valtteri Filppula with his third, with being the third star. So that wraps up that. And the Caps would not play for 3 days.
Correct.
Until that next Friday when they hosted the New Jersey Devils. So jumping into that game, opening the scoring 3:51 into the first, Nicklas Backstrom with his 7th, Alex Ovechkin, the captain, assisting, Michael Kempney also assisting with a wrister. Second period. Ah, yes, this is where Tom Wilson showed his special capabilities. So the Caps went down for a penalty. Let's see here. If we nail that down, that would have been the high sticking call against Madison Bowie on Travis Zajac. But Tom Wilson, what a world, gets his 7th of the year on the that's SH for shorthanded. Not shorthand, but shorthanded, mm-hmm. which the Caps were, and assisted by Niskanen and Eller. And Not long after that, there was an incident.
Hold on. You didn't mention that it was 8 seconds into the second period.
That's true. You're right. It was exactly 8 seconds into the second period. I don't know if that ties or breaks some sort of obscure record for fastest shorthanded goal to start a period for a guy that was unjustly suspended and is unfairly targeted by. I'm sorry, I'm going off on about 50 different tangents there, but that's fine. But yeah, no, you're right. It was a very quick shorthanded goal, which put them up 2-0. And as I was saying, he was involved a little bit of something later. We'll mention that a little bit. But to close out the scoring for the second period, Travis Zajac with his 8th, assisted by Coleman, also on the shorthand for them. You and I agreed to gloss over the what turned out to be the story of the night. I don't think you and I should get into it. Obviously, it was the match penalty given by the referee,
right,
in this
right.
case, Trevor, not so clever Hansen, who was not looking at the play, if you watch the replay. He received a match penalty, which means an automatic, I think it's an automatic $100 fine and ejection from the game. The only thing I will say about this is that this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, at least for me, that the majority of the NHL referees are woefully inadequately trained, and this should put the spotlight on that problem once and for all. And
it needs to be fixed.
But
even if it wasn't, Tommy, I mean, it was an absolute joke. And I always feel like, okay, you know, as fans watching it, we're always going to, you know, root for our guys and be like, no, that wasn't that hard. That wasn't this, that wasn't that. Okay. Well, you know what, when he was suspended, I said I couldn't defend him because, you know, it was an unnecessary reckless hit. I didn't think he deserved 20 games. This was not intentional. And if you watched his body language, like you can from literally every angle, he does, you know, they're on ice skates. So it's not like he's all this time in the world to be like, oh, hey, let me put on my blinker and be sure that I move out of the way. He shifts his body, you know, give me a break. It wasn't intentional. It was so over the top. And you know, as well as I do, like when you see, how the coaches respond after the game, when they're all being interviewed, that they're always going to ask about the penalties or the ejections or whatever it is. And the coaches are going to say, you know, usually, either I don't agree or it is what it is. And we're moving forward. We're going to talk about the next game. But here you have Todd Reirden, and hats off to him for saying how much he completely disagreed with this call. He didn't get it. He was frustrated. And I thought, you know what, that's why I like this guy. You know, he is going to stand by his players, and especially when it's completely unjustified. So I was glad, you know, and like you said, we're not going to dwell on it. It's a bullshit call. It was infuriating. I had to stay off of Twitter because I was like ready to just jump down someone's throat about everything when they're like, typical Tom. But I was glad to see that there wasn't going to be a hearing and a fine and a suspension and all that crap. But those refs have got to be held accountable for something. Like, what is it going to take?
Yeah, and that was really the only reason I even brought up. I wasn't trying to bait you or anybody. That's the only reason.
I know.
The only reason
if I didn't get on here and have some sort of soapbox moment about Tommy, then everyone would be like, what, is she not feeling well? So come on.
I totally get that. So I figured I'd open it up, and I knew you'd censor yourself. So hats off to you for that. But I just want to say one more thing. Look, you can call me, well, you're blaming the victim all you want, but And several of my fellow Caps fans have echoed the same sentiment. That guy who got hit, what was his name, Brett Cini?
Yeah.
He ought to be at least fined and or warned for embellishment. Because, again, mm-hmm. if you see the replay, he's not hit in the head, but he sure tries to sell that he did get hit in the head. And basically, when the collision was made, he went flying into the air like a bucket of discombobulated body parts, the likes of which I've never seen since the Crash Test Dummy movies. Okay? I don't know. And one more thing. There's a certain beat writer who did call it a hit. It wasn't a hit. Listen, I hope you will, to Mr. Todd Reirden, as Anna just said, in the post-game presser. He got it right. It's called incidental contact. Incidental contact, not a malicious or intentional hit. Which, again, if you bothered to do your job and see the replay, that's what it was. Okay? That's what it was. Oh, and apparently she's got her own legion of fans who are sickeningly loyal to her, but I'm not going to waste any more precious resources that we at the Power Play Point podcast have as far as time to go down that debacle of a road. But, yeah, just sorry. Just I'm sorry about the tangent, but a couple of things I wanted to highlight there that a lot of people, frankly, just plain got wrong. But it ended up being a story, long story short, it ended up being a story that shouldn't have ever have been, okay? And just turned out to be, thankfully, a brief interruption in what's been a damn good 2 weeks for a hell of a player. So, we continue with the scoring summary. Oh, looky here. In the third period, as Bernie Deal pointed out in our membership room on Facebook, we have a Burakovsky sighting. Andrei Burakovsky with his fourth, assisted by Kempney and Backstrom to make it 3-1 good guys. And then the next goal by Backstrom, his second of the night. Keep your eyes on that. Which would turn out to be the game winner on the power play. And then last year's number one draft choice, Nico Hischier from the Devils, with his fifth, makes it 4-2. And about 6 minutes later, an old friend came to call, Marcus Johansson, who made it a little close. So the Devils sure did make it interesting. Remember that. That's going to become a theme. Making it 4-3. And then Ovechkin, 20 seconds later, locking it up with an empty netter, and then very unselfishly assisting on the next goal, which was to Nicklas Backstrom for his second career hat trick, his ninth of the season, a thing of beauty to see the hats raining down. Once again, that'll be a recurring theme as well.
Oh, it was great. It was, and you know, you just have to love Backstrom and just how humble he is and how, you know, just well-deserved and you know, it just kind of comes out. But yeah, 22 seconds left in the game and that's it. So yeah, it was a little up and down moment, but overall it was sure as hell better than yesterday's game.
That it most definitely was. And speaking of yesterday's game, well, we'll get to that in a second, but let's go over the vital stats once again. Okay, stop me if you've heard this before. New Jersey outshoots Washington 36-1. Faceoff performance, not horrible, but not great either. 52.6 for the bad guys. Power play, 1-for-4 Caps, 0-for-5 Devils. So PK had a very good night. So did the Caps power penalty killing unit. Let's see. 18 minutes in penalties for the Caps, most of which being that unfortunate abomination we just got through talking about. Devils outhit the Caps 12-6, and block shots 14-11 Caps. Possession game was kind of even. More giveaways for the Caps, but more takeaways at the same time. So fairly even game in that sense, but again, Caps are proving to do more when they have the puck, which is what helps in the long run. Three stars of the game. Niklas Backstrom, the Swedish tweet himself, obviously the number one star with the hat trick. Braden Holtby, number two star, and the captain garnering number three honors. So thank you to the app once again. And now, over to the game that you went and saw live and in sparkling color.
Right.
Well, before we get to what it was and is, tell everybody about your experience. I mean, I think it had been a while since you'd been to a game, so
I want to
hear from you. See what it was like.
I hadn't been in about a year, and yeah, so a bunch of teachers were getting together. So there was one of those group deals, and one of the teachers I work with has a season ticket holder, and so she has somebody that she goes through and is like, hey, I can get, you know, these 10 tickets or 12 tickets or whatever it is for a reasonable price. We got a t-shirt. And like we've said before, you know, I know I've made jokes about nosebleed. There really isn't a bad seat. You guys are all right about that. And being a Capital One, although they have changed the seating to where the seats aren't necessarily smaller, but there is like absolutely no leg room. Like it is like straight up being in that middle seat. And an airplane. You're like, good God.
Not to interrupt you, but yeah, I was kind of wondering about that, because that was one of the big stories about the place, because they made that thing about we're going to do renovations to do up the seatings. I was wondering how that was going to be like, and it doesn't sound like it's for the better.
No. And even the other people who were there were like, you know, it's not like this in the hundreds. Although it can be bad, but this is, you know, so it was just one of those kind of like, you know, you're up so high, and then when you have to stand and let somebody walk by, you're very much, there's no personal bubble, that's for sure. We're all up in each other's space, like, hey, how's it going? But yeah, so we were there. We had, you know, they gave us this this great shirt, which just when we were talking about the hat trick, it just so happened to be that the shirt that they gave us had to do with obviously the a quote from the Stanley Cup victory parade speech. And on the back of the shirt, it says, "We're absolutely nothing without you." And that's from Backstrom, and, you know, to the fans. And I'm like, that, you know, I'm going to cherish that shirt, because I thought that was great. I did get my socks.
Oh, very cool. So wait. So the quote was that it wasn't, "We're the Stanley Cup champion." Yeah. No, wasn't that?
No, because that probably wouldn't come across well in a shirt.
Or "We not fucking suck back to back."
Right. Well, that's already on shirts.
So oh, that,
one,
yeah.
This one they had to consider there'd be families probably getting it, because, yeah, we won't fucking suck. That's been there, done that on this one. But I liked this one. "We're absolutely nothing without you." I'm like, aw, Nikki B. That's awesome.
And of course, if it was family, they couldn't do TJ Oshie drinking from the thing. I don't know how you'd quote that. It's probably sound like or something like that. I don't know.
But they have that shirt too. So it's like all the good things, all the things at the top five that everyone remembers people saying and doing have all become shirts for sure. And then there's this little kind-hearted ones that were more coherent during the parade speeches. They're like, oh yeah, there you go. That's a good one for Backstrom. So it was good. And then, so my socks. So here I am. I'm going to like one of the little kiosk things before the game started. And I was like, oh my God, here are the socks. And I'm all excited because there's Wilson and there's Ovechkin. I was like, yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I knew they weren't going to have Kempe and Vrana, but I said, you know, this will be awesome. They're wicked expensive, but whatever. And I'm about to pay, and I turn it over, and I realize that they are youth socks.
Uh-oh.
I was like, what the fuck? So they're like literally like not even my kid, like baby. I'm like, who, what toddler needs Tom Wilson on their socks? Like, come on. Like half the population of women in that stadium yesterday went crazy when he came on the ice. Like, come on. Like, we love Tommy Wilson and, you know, I want socks. So they didn't have them in adults, but I did get a koozie pair. And it's they're great. So I am adding my koozie socks to my commando wearing outfit tomorrow. Or is it no? Wednesday.
It's tomorrow.
No, it is tomorrow when they play the Knights. And we'll see how that goes. But can I just say something real quick about the commando thing? So
why not? We've already dug a huge hole. Just start the show. Why not?
We'll get rid of it. You can totally delete the intro. I'm like, it probably was totally inappropriate. But anyways, so a couple of, you know, when I went to go get the Tommy Kempney Ronis autographs, Smith Pelly, like a month ago, and I told you that I met this guy Aubrey and his friend behind me, and you know, they were great. They lived down Newport, Virginia Beach area, right? Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
So he heard about the podcast. He is a follower, and one of the episodes he had listened to was the superstition one where it's like, oh, you know, you've got your jersey. And I'm like, bye, go commando. Bye. Drink vodka tonics. And so yesterday, and he knew I was going to the game yesterday. And in the middle of the game, when it starts to fall apart, his message to me was like, you're wearing underwear, aren't you? That's why they're losing. Oh, my God. I was like, who would have thought that? It was, and I was like, yeah, guilty because I'm wearing jeans, but hell, if this is how it's going to turn out, I'm going like underwear, like commando from now on. Like, this is crazy. But I just thought that was so, because I, you know, like here every once in a while, we just kind of go back and forth, like, you know, sports talk and then, you know, then nothing. I don't hear from a couple days or a couple weeks.
Hang on. I know we're already down a bad road, but did you just say, at least if you're going to be out and about on a game day, you are going to risk going commando in public?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I just didn't do it yesterday because I was wearing jeans, and that's just like, there's a zipper, and I was like, and I didn't honestly think about how I may have to carry over from being commando in the house, watching the games where they're not around anybody to be, but I mean, again, like, who's gonna know? Well, not everyone who's listening is gonna know if they're watching the games with me, but like, it's not, you know, it's not like I don't have pants on or shorts or whatever. So, yeah, it was very, very funny that just like when he sent that, because I was like, so you'll get into the game, but I was so pissed at like what had happened. But anyway, so that made me laugh. So Aubrey, hats off to you. That was a good one. I appreciate the sarcasm and whatnot. But overall, Wes Johnson did an amazing job. That we had a moment of silence for the president that passed. Everyone was very, you know, that grateful and you know, respectful for that. Caleb Green came out, did, you know, the anthem, which is always amazing. And yeah, it started off.
Quick dumb question about that. Was it Caleb by himself?
Yes.
Okay. I wondered about that. It's usually Caleb and Bob McDonald.
Right. And I believe it's because I feel like on some social media, I saw that Bob McDonald was going to be singing at another game somewhere else. I don't think it was Hershey Bears, but another sporting event in, you know, that for some reason, yeah, they weren't together. But I've also seen Bob McDonald be by himself without Caleb Green. So
yeah, that's why I was asking, because I've noticed they've been split up quite a bit. So I guess it's because of scheduling conflicts.
It could be that, but also, I mean, I have friends that have met both of them separately as, you know, guest of honors at dinners and things like that, because they bring their ring, they take pictures with people. So they're very appreciative and appreciated, you know, of the fans and by the fans. So I think maybe they're just getting more gigs and maybe it is scheduling. But no, Caleb yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would hope so because, okay. So I got my rose red colored Caps glasses on. Yeah, I know. But sorry. But yeah, two of the best anthem singers in the whole damn league, in my opinion. So make of that what you will.
Hands down. No, I agree. And when you're there, the most important. So minus, you know, getting my socks and having a great time with friends, our seats, even though we were like 409, were like at level with the banner. That picture I showed you, like I did not have to zoom in. I didn't have to crop. I didn't have to edit anything. Like that's where it was. And even the girls that have the season ticket holders that are down like in the hundreds, like, man, like where we sit, we can't see it because of the angle. I thought, you know what, that's just it. You know, we all want to be close to the ice. And yeah, it's, you know, it is great, whatever. But up in the fours, like, man, you see that banner? That is just a single tear moment right there of just being so glad to see it. So that was really, really an amazing moment.
Absolutely. Thing of beauty. Absolutely. Thing of beauty, just to be sure. So, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And we're going to have to post that on the Facebook page so everybody can see that.
I don't know
that you did, but we're definitely going to have to throw that in there.
Okay.
Okay, so that's – all right. So other than – well, okay. So it sounded like – and you know what? We've stalled long enough. It sounded like the accommodations were fantastic, as only they can be at Cap 1.
Right.
But we've stalled long enough, so we got to describe what actually happened on the ice.
Yeah. Well, I have... Okay. I thought, you know, we don't have to go... I guess we kind of do. Period by period, and get so much into it because I want to know if you and I walked away with the same exact frustrations. That I want to hear that for a couple of minutes versus just, you know, shots on goal and whatever. Although that could be one of your frustrations.
You know what? We'll okay. So I won't. We won't get, I guess, too much into the details. My friend Doug, on our membership page described it perfectly. It was a tale of two games, and I answered in the affirmative, not to butcher Charles Dickens, but it was the worst of skates. It was the best of skates. And so, yeah, when the Caps jumped out to a 5-1 lead, I was jumping up and down. I was very happy. I thought, oh, great. The Caps are rolling. Backstrom, Stevenson, Wilson, Kuznetsov, and Nick Dowd all scored. Five different guys, surrounded by the Hair Club for Men vice president Ryan Getzlaff, who got the lone goal for Anaheim. And I thought, wow, we're rolling. We look good. We've gotten over this funk. There's no stopping us now, and then disaster.
Yep, and I can say from being there that, I mean, you have coming out, I mean, if we just got to our seats at the whole anthem, we're like, wow, we're so pumped to be here. The couple I was sitting with from our school, like, she's having her baby in a couple weeks. This is their first NHL game. Like, absolutely, everyone's like feeling the love, feeling the rock and the red, the holiday spirit, you name it. And you got 41 seconds in, and you got back some scoring, and it just got progressively better after that. They looked good. Holpe looked good. And then, man, it was like the second half. Wasn't just the third period. It was the second half of the second into the third, where watching it live was really painful. I mean, not that it's, you know, obviously. I mean, like, you saw it on
watching it at home. Watching it at home wasn't all that much better. Let me tell you.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, here we are, like, oh, like, you know, you've got the, like, collective sigh and frustration of, like, tens of thousands of fans that are like, what the fuck just happened?
I know. There's nothing more deflating than seeing your team collapse, you know, from 30 feet away or whatever. So I wasn't making fun of that, but man, it was, yeah, you're right. It was complete and utter torture to watch the collapse. Now, the guts of it, I have to say, is the two power play goals given up late in the game that powered the Ducks to the win pretty much. Let's see. So going over the pen. Okay. So, Well, I was just about to say goat of the game. I don't mean greatest of all time either. I mean kick the bucket goat, or what's the screaming goat?
I don't know.
So, but yeah, either way, Dmitry Orlov, two back-to-back boarding penalties.
Right, I will say the first one, I think because we were all so, like, pissed, we're like, that's a bullshit call. And then when you see it again, I was like, yeah, okay, that was totally worthy of a 2 minute, if not more. But then to get it right after, you know, he's out of the box, he's on the ice, and he's back in the box for the same thing. I blame, yeah. So my list is basically starts with him, and then I've got about four other things. So,
Well, we're only going to single him out because that's probably the tip of the iceberg, and we could go all day on stuff that went wrong and guys that did bad but yeah, I'm sorry, but you commit back to back the same damn penalty, and put a target on yourself. With these refs.
Yeah.
That's, sorry, but that's on you.
Yeah. And then I do have to say that I know everyone was, you know, people were like, oh, you know, Holpe and getting this 10,000th save and it's going to be so amazing. He's only six away. Honestly, yes, I'm all for him getting that. Want him to get it tomorrow in Vegas. Copley should have been in last night. And that was my frustration from the beginning because yes, Holtby looked awesome, but come the second half or even going into the second period, it just wasn't there. And I feel like we're sitting Copley out way too much. He's sure as hell not going to play up against the Knights tomorrow. Maybe he is, but I don't think that they would do that. So that was my frustration. And then frickin' Orlov. And then Connolly, I'll give number 10, you know, a little bit more respect. I mean, he played a good game, but he missed a pass that he was frustrated with, and eventually, you know, the Ducks did score. But there were so many missed passes and sloppy plays, and those screaming moments of shoot the fucking puck was, like, you know, chanted throughout the throughout Capital One, especially with number 65. Like, there we go again. You know, he scores the last game and it's like, oh, hey, Andre, there's number 4. Let's see if we can kind of get you to two digits. Keep going. And then this one was just, he just looked awful. So, the one, you know, so we got a Tommy goal, which was great, although the rest were all over his ass for no reason. And how about my number 23? He's so close to scoring. So, yeah, Dmitry Yaskin.
Yep.
He had a great game. And number 6 had a great game. And so that was fun to watch. But, yeah, it just got sloppy. And, like I said, like, did you just get really cocky that you're up 5-1? Because, boy, did karma come and bite the Caps in the ass at the end.
Well, going back to something you said previous, it's funny you mentioned the shots because this was the one game out of the three we're reviewing where the Caps actually outshot the opposition.
Oh,
32-25. But I think out of everybody who had eyes that worked and saw the game, I think Ed Frankovic of WNST.com put it the best. The Caps simply stopped skating. They just simply stopped. And I think Locker and Joe B. kind of said it as well. And I think Alan May definitely said something about it. I think he went off. Wouldn't have been the first time this week, but I think he went off on how they played. But Ed Frankovic said it perfectly in a tweet. They just simply stopped skating after that fifth goal. And it was you know what? You know else who had a great quote after the game? Rob Carlin said I love this. He said it looked as if the Caps had already mentally boarded the plane to Las Vegas.
Oh, shit.
After that fifth goal. So,
good for him. Yeah.
Yeah, could not have said it better myself. That's
and I
exactly
think,
what
know,
happened.
In the beginning, the entire team was very, very aware that the Ducks were going to be all over Ovechkin's ass. Like, I mean, he could not, he was just surrounded. And, okay, then they managed to deal with it and they managed to score 5 points and look awesome. And yeah, took the foot off the gas. And I don't know, you don't want to say they got cocky, but like, what the hell happened? How do you go 5-1 and lose to 6-5? Like when I walked in the door yesterday, my family hadn't seen the game. Yeah. Hey, how was it? Did you have fun? I'm like, I had a great time. You know, Caps fans are the best. I love seeing the team live. I said, fucking blew it in the third. How embarrassing. So yeah, not fun, but I know we're getting tight on time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we ought to stop beating a dead horse. So, long story short, they took the foot off the gas, 5 unanswered goals. Pardon me. If you saw my posts on the Facebook page, yeah, they embarrassed themselves. They shat the proverbial bed, as it were. And but I don't want to. I don't. Well, not because I don't want to stop dumping on the Caps, but you have to give credit to the Ducks because they had to make the most. As I always say, you have to make the most of the opportunity you're given, and they did. And they were, as I said, they were led. They were powered by 2 goals late. By Pontus Aberg, not just any Berg, but Aberg. He got the power play on one of the 2 Orlov penalties, and he also ended up getting the game winner. So it could be said that Pontus piloted the Ducks to the win. So for that, he earned the number 1 star honors, number 2 star. I made fun of him, but he actually had a hell of a game too. Ryan Getzlaf.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuznetsov for his silken filthy mitts on that half wraparound goal assisted by Connolly gets 3rd star honors.
Right.
I already mentioned some of the key stats. Caps actually outshot the Ducks 32-25. The rest pretty much downhill. Ducks special teams were key. 2 out of 3 on the when they went to the PP. Caps only 1 for 5. And I think we'll leave it at that. Okay, so just put the final nail on the coffin in this thing. Put this in the freezer for good, the toe tag, whatever you want to say. Yeah, it was just like everybody said. They stopped playing. They stopped skating. Took the foot off the gas. You throw in whatever crazy metaphor you want to put in, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And Braden Holtby said it was a humbling experience. So I would say at this point to conclude, hopefully they learn from this. And at the same time, I would say, look, those of you out there who are already panicking and saying, this guy needs to be fired, this guy needs to be benched, this person needs to go wherever, Orlov needs to go back to Russia and hide in an igloo somewhere. Look, I get that you're all upset. I get that. But it's one game. It's one loss. They won the seven before that.
Right.
And all of them, if I recall, just about all of them, except maybe one, in regulation. So this team is playing as well as can be at the moment. Now is certainly not the time to panic, certainly not after one loss. No. Okay, you who are out there screaming at the top of your lungs because one guy or two guys had a bad night, in the words of Sergeant Hulka, lighten up, Francis. All right? It's one game. Yes, it was a bad game, but they'll bounce back. I'm not worried. I'm disgusted, but I'm not worried.
All right.
Okay, so thus endeth the week that was for the Caps on the ice. We're not going to do too much, unfortunately, as far as the farm report, but I will highlight a long-honored tradition of the Hershey Bears, and that, of course, is the teddy bear toss.
Which was amazing.
And it was certainly amazing to see. I absolutely loved all the video and the pictures of Nathan Walker buying his own teddy bear and coming out and tossing it onto the ice. And they set a world record. For those of you listening, you're not sure what we're talking about. It's an annual tradition. It's a teddy bear toss. For the life of me, I can't remember the charity, but the fans in Hershey at the Giant Center, they bring as many teddy bears as they can. And the first goal that they score in this annual game, they throw all of the teddy bears onto the ice, which are collected and then donated to the charity. I think it's for Toys for Tots, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah, no, yeah. I think you're right.
So Riley Barber ends up scoring the goal. Don was the first to send me the video, so I don't want to pass him by without mentioning him. Don, by the way, thanks for the shout out. Do appreciate that. Beautiful sight to see. They broke the world record by about 7,000 for throwing those things on the ice. It was absolutely crazy and beautiful all at once to see. So
see, that's what I think people, you know, we needed to see that. I know that for myself, you know, you turn on the news and it's like, oh my God, it's, you know, Debbie Downer and this and political rants and this injustice, whatever. Sometimes you just want to hear about the good in the world. You just need a good, warm, fuzzy story. And no pun intended with the teddy bears, but this to me just spoke volumes on not just how much the players get into it, because yes, that's awesome, but the fans. I mean, you broke a world record. Like, way to go, Hershey Bears! Like, I love people who are unselfish. I know I donated like four or five toys yesterday for the Toys for Tots outside of the Capital One Center. A guy who was taking them, like, literally shook every person's hand that gave toys and could not say enough thank you, and we appreciate it, and the kids are going to love this. And I thought, yeah, what does it take to go out and buy, you know, some toys, you know, give up a coffee or two for a day and go spend it on something else. So I just kind of got in that Christmas spirit, and that when I came home from the game and saw the stuff from Don and just, you know, other tweets, it just was awesome. I was happy to see it.
And I was too. And the official count, if for anybody that's curious, is 34,798 teddy bears, which again is a new world record for one such donation.
Amazing.
Absolutely. So, want to thank our brethren for defending the den in Hershey for the baby caps, and put the spotlight on them for once, and thank Don McLaren once again for helping us out there. Okay, so yeah, we're starting to wind down on time. I really don't think there's much to talk about. We went over the debacle that was, which really, if you think about it, was put the crash to what was a good week. And ended up being the main story. But really, I mean, yeah, it was a bad way to lose, but in the long run, it's going to end up being a nothing to see here story. So, again, you know, and you learn from it and you move on.
Are we going to be, can we talk about the holiday stuff? The holiday shout out?
Sure, certainly, certainly. And so we're going to leave that open. It's not going to be just for this one week. So, highly suggest that if you're listening and hopefully you're a regular subscriber / downloader of the show, if you haven't done so already, the easiest way to keep up with the show is to become a member of our Facebook page. Because of recent events with a certain person who will continue to remain nameless, we are not going to solicit that. If you want to join, you're certainly welcome. That way we know you listen to the show and you want to join, and you're not thinking this is some other show or a lark or something like that. So if you're welcome, it's a public page. You're welcome to contact us directly. Again, it's a Power Play Point podcast. Run a search for that in Facebook in all caps. And we're doing the holiday shout out to anyone, any one of our listeners who wants to make mention of someone special they want to dedicate to, anything like that. So we're going to put that out there. We're going to using the power of the internet to get that out there.
Right. Well, I have a couple.
Oh, excellent. Go for it.
Okay. So remember a couple of weeks ago we had Fletch on.
yes, we did.
Yes. And we've become really good friends because I just, you know, people are awesome and I like to meet new people. And he has a daughter named, oh my God, I almost called her. Sorry. Have her name down. Her name is Leia. She's 12 years old. Absolutely sounds like the most rock star 12-year-old you could ever meet. He loves her to death, and he just wants her to know that she is just the most awesome thing in his life. Sweet holiday shout out. Fletch to Layla. Excuse me. I love that. I have a personal one, and this is going to be kind of crazy for you. Trucker Eric. I haven't heard from Trucker Eric in a while. I got concerned. I reached out today. Do you know that somebody stole his identity?
Oh, God.
Right?
That's got to suck.
So not only like his identity, you know, but they just went crazy with, you know, one credit card after another, including his business credit card. So Eric Hayes, I will speak for Gil also, are really hoping that some good karma comes your way, because that just is so heartbreaking to hear. And around the holidays, and you know, you're now it's just this slow process and you have paperwork and phone calls, and it's like, oh, come on. Like, this guy is so awesome. He does not deserve this. So yeah, Trucker Eric, man. So we're going to hope, you know, kind of good one and then a bad one. And then I will, you know, we'll give our Don McLaren, he's what a sweetheart. The guy's on it. He loves the Hershey Bears. He's loyal. Hats off to you. Happy holidays to you and your family. And then I got to give my shout out to Rochelle Wilcox, who I adore. I just, you know, one cool chick, and I love that she loves hockey as much as I do. And so those are just my couple. Hopefully we'll hear from other people, so I don't have to, you don't have to hear me every week. But I have a list. I just, people I think need to have great holidays.
All right, sounds awesome. Okay, so yes, I in light of that, want to mention Mr. Hayes. Eric, I appreciate your support of our show. I'm sorry to hear that happen. It kind of gets me because of the industry I work in. I do deal with a lot of that myself, so my heart does go out to you on that. And it does suck that it had to happen in the holiday time period. So I really hope that you're made whole very, very soon, because I do understand how absolutely heartbreaking, not to mention a big pain in the arse it is to have to go through something like that, having seen it firsthand. So I hope things get better for you, and thanks much, appreciated for your continued support of the show. Also just want to make mention of one other fan, I say he's a fan, but he's also a great podcaster in his own right. And, of course, that's Robbie Gross, who is, of course, celebrating his first Hanukkah with his son, Zach, his newborn son, Zach.
Yes.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, say happy Hanukkah to him and his family. The Festival of Lights has started once again already for this year. So I just want to... for him and all of our Jewish fans, happy Hanukkah for this year, and thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because I was just about to mention Robbie, since I'm going to hopefully be on with him in a few. But yeah, so thank you for that. I was glad that one of us was able to make a shout out to everyone who is celebrating Hanukkah. Absolutely.
Yes, and so when you talk to him later on tonight, tell him I said L'chaim.
Of course.
sorry, that's me trying to be, with it.
I won't do it justice like you, but that's okay.
Yeah. All right, so there's one thing left to do, and that's go over the immediate schedule, and that's going to be tomorrow night's game at 10 o'clock against an old set of friends/foes. That will be against the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm curious. I'm gonna make an effort to watch this game because I want to see how the team bounces back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really glad that they're playing Vegas again, because it allows me to annoy Anna once more and sing "Viva Las Vegas."
I'm hanging up.
No, you're not. We're not done yet.
Come on.
No, we are now.
Okay.
Okay. So that's gonna wrap it up for another disjointed show, and okay, so for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner On Point signing off and reminding you that you should try, asking you rather, if you've ever tried one of those footrest things that you can put in front of your couch. Well, if you haven't, you definitely ought to, man.
See, and I thought you were going to have, like, some stool joke, and then you pulled the ottoman. All right.
I can class it up when
I
have to.
No, you so can't. Just it's fine. It's good. I didn't laugh, but it's okay.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.